Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, well, it's about all things, looked through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Yeah, that's the oldest of traditions, but it's polished up for today. We call that look an Armadox look, inviting you to take it with us. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. This is episode number 267, The Next Step. Oh, welcome to The Next Step. It's great to have you with us today. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff today. Well, we're going to play a little bit of ketchup on life, you know? No, not the ketchup that you put on French fries, but the ketchup on life. Do you find yourself like in that situation? We're doing just so many things and you're always trying to find time to catch up, you know, it's almost like life is going on and you're kind of in the background somewhere. What was it that John Lennon said? Life is something that happens to you while you're busy making plans for other things. You know, you got your head in a cloud, you're doing stuff, you're going here and there, and meanwhile, life goes on. And so it is. You know, I took off a couple weeks and had a great 2-week vacation away from everything. What I like to call recreation, to recreate yourself, and then you get back and you got, whoa, tons of stuff, because, well, life didn't decide to take a vacation from you. You decided to take a vacation from life. But in that time, you had a chance to really kind of clear out the head. And I want to share with you some of the things, experiences that happened, especially in a beautiful place on earth called Arizona. That I know you listeners who listen to me, you know, that's one of my hideouts. Well, we had a chance to go out there and I had a chance to meet with some great people out there. And I want to share some experiences over there, particularly in the subject of healing. And you know, this has been a big one for me lately. Particularly, I wrote that preface to the healing experience. It's up on my blog and I'm ready to really, tear apart this whole subject. Because I'm more and more finding that, you know, no matter how you look at it, everything is about healing. The whole purpose that Jesus came to earth was healing. And of course, when you say this, people are thinking, oh yeah, he gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. No, it's way beyond that. He gave healing to all of us. Healing for us to become complete. For us to find our place within our lives and, well, basically rid ourselves of the guilt and say that we are a person created in the image of God, and if God has poked us in the belly button and said, you're okay, then we must be okay, right? Well, we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. Let's see, with some other stuff I wanted to share with you at the beginning of this show. Some of the Sunsash stuff that's been coming out. If you don't follow Sunsash, it's a small little blog that I do. It's a daily blog. It's just a brief one-liner, two-liner, sometimes a little poem. and gives you a little bit of insight of where I'm at and really where we're going. Usually has something to do. You can connect the dots. If you read it, you'll be able to connect the dots with life today, and more definitely with where I'm at today. So that's one of the fun things I have to do. You know, once a day I have to come up with one of these. So I want to share with you a couple of them, because I found that as I was, well, as I was finding these quotes, they were speaking to me at many different levels. Like, for instance, experience. What is experience? You know, you have a life. You live the life. And as you're going through the life, you gain insight. And so, you know, there's knowledge that you could accumulate in a classroom. But as you're getting older, you're also accumulating knowledge that comes from just basically living. And this is one of the advantages of older people. They get to look back and say, hey, you know, don't do it this way or do it this way. But of course, that's taking the fun out of other people's lives who have the same right to, you know, experience all the problems that you went through, as well as all the happinesses that you're making. So, Soren Kierkegaard, how about this? Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. I like that one, huh? Okay, you live life going forwards, but really as you go forward, you look backwards and then you find that understanding. Purpose, joy. How about this one? We could never learn to be brave and patient if there were only joy in the world. What? Wait. Don't we want joy in the world, don't we? We all want joy in our lives. But what is this? And this is, by the way, is by Helen Keller. We could never learn to be brave and patient. Being patient, no, not my virtue. Being brave, I want to believe I'm brave. But how do you be brave? How are you courageous? How are you brave? Well, if there were only joy in the world, you would never learn that, says Helen Keller. And then yesterday's, I've got to share this one with you, because I think that it is probably, you know, when I was growing up, this one by Henry David Thoreau was probably smeared across the world, just like the bumper stickers, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins, became a fashion statement of the 80s. We'll go back a little bit earlier to the 60s, 70s. This was for my generation, and unfortunately you don't see it too much, but I do want to repeat it by Thoreau, and this was the Sun Sash yesterday. It's about stepping. Why should we be in such desperate haste to succeed in such desperate enterprises? If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. I love this one, first of all, because it's basically saying, who cares what everybody else is hearing? If you hear something, follow that beat. But what I love about this statement is a part that usually doesn't get repeated. It's the first sentence to this one little passage. It says, why should we be in such desperate haste to succeed and in such desperate enterprises? Yes, success. Okay, how is success measured in this world? What you got in your pocket. What you got in your pocket. That will tell you if you are successful. Let me tell you something. I do, as a priest, I've done my share of funerals where I've had to officiate. Let me tell you what success is. It's those lives that have touched other lives. I know that sounds corny, and you say, oh yeah, okay, that's good, cute, let's change it. Unfortunately, you can't change the channel on me, because I'm not on radio yet. This is a podcast. But here's the thing. It's not as corny as you think. You go to a funeral for a 70-year-old, an 80-year-old, a 90-year-old person, and if there's one or two people, you know that that hasn't been a successful life. But how about when you show up and there's just scores of people? There's hundreds of people. What does that mean? That life has been spent fully. It has impacted other lives. So it's not what he had in his pocket, but what he had in his heart. That's what success is. And Thoreau calls us, this, by the way, of course, you probably figured this passage is from Walden. And, you know, if you haven't read Walden, it's worth reading, definitely it has to be on your bucket list. But if you have read it, take another look at it. Read it again. It's at that point you understand that, you know, really, what is really important in life? It's your ability to communicate with yourself, your ability to communicate with your surroundings, with God, however you may define that God. And I really want you to challenge yourself. You know, I think Susie says it at the beginning of our show. She says, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. I see this so often. People do this. You know, oh, well, it's Christian. You're doing, this is what you believe. No. Back off a little bit. Don't let anybody else tell you what you believe. You know what you believe. And that is to be able to be at one, at harmony. That's the whole purpose of religion. That's why Christ came. Right? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. What did the angels sing when he was born? Peace on earth. Not for him to establish something that will drive wedges between people. No, it's about peace. And that peace that you have with yourself and with others. And so Walden Pond, there you have it. You have Thoreau talking. You have him journaling, discussing what life is for him. What does it mean to be an individual, to be a member of society? How do you interact with that society? What is important in life? What you got in your pocket? Yeah, that is important. Let's not fool ourselves. You do want those nice things in life, but is that the end of it? He who dies with the most toys wins. Yeah, maybe. For a lot of people, it is. But you know, and I know, that there's an emptiness with that materialism. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to give up that fullness of life for that emptiness? And a lot of people do make that compromise. There is a lot of emptiness. Do you remember the rich man who came to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, I followed all the commandments. I do everything. And what does Jesus say? He says, go out there and sell everything you have and follow me. Give it to the poor. Follow me. Wow! What? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that to you? He said it to some guy in the Bible. But think about it for a moment. For him, it was everything that was attaching him to the wrong things in life. Basically, the materialism. And I think a lot of times we do this, right? We latch on to the wrong things, to the things that don't have any meaning in our lives. To the things that shouldn't have any meaning in our lives. You know, the other day we were talking and somebody was telling me that concerned with what other people think. You know, it's easy for us to say, you know, don't worry about what other people think. But you do. It's natural. You think about what other people are thinking. But you know what? You shouldn't care about what everybody thinks. Think about select few. The people that matter to you. Right? And it's okay to be selective in that. Remember the Jesus story when he went for the transfiguration. Did he take the 12 with him? Did he take the hundreds with him? No, he took 3 people that it mattered with him. Remember when he went to heal the little girl who was sick? Did he take all the disciples and say, hey, let's go up there? No, he took 3 with him. The inner circle. It's okay to have inner circles. It's okay to say that, you know what, there's the broader world out there. But you know what, there are some people that are very close to me. There are people that whose opinion really does matter, that I do care about those. And be selective in that process. And Thoreau, in this passage, what he's saying over here is saying that, you know what, we all step to different drummers. Different drummers. Different levels. And you know what? I can step to a drummer, and you could think that I'm stupid. You could think that I'm crazy. I had a parish council member. Oh, this goes back a little bit. I had a parish council member. He would get up at meetings, and he goes, that's stupid. That was the extent of, I guess, his vocabulary. Whenever there was something that he couldn't understand, that's stupid. Yeah, it is stupid to you. You can't understand it, but it doesn't mean the other person is stupid. It just means that he's hearing a different drummer. Now, you know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about homosexual marriages, and certainly an issue that's brought upon us because of society, and if people get all messed up and they start quoting Bible scriptures and everything. And, you know, I took a very firm stand on it a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to repeat it right now, but basically the stand is that we have evolved. You know, the things that don't evolve decay. Those are the things that are in the ground. You want to see them? Go to a cemetery. Those are the things that decay. But if you're living, you evolve. And so you don't check your brain in at the door. You say, well, what's going on in the world? Okay? And whether you condone an action or you find it despicable, you still have to understand and deal with it. And here's the big issue with homosexuality is that, you know, that as people are coming to terms with it, the issue is that, is this something that is learned, behavioral, or is this something that is just part of the genetic makeup? Is this who the person is? And now, once you find that out, if you start saying that, well, this is the what the person is, then you've got to admit that, well, God has created that individual like that. So now, is God wrong? Well, God can't be wrong by definition. So then who's wrong? Our perception. Our perception and understanding of God. And so we evolve. And this is just the same as when Copernicus came around and he said, hey, by the way, we're not the center of the universe. And they put the guy to trial, you know, the threats. I mean, excommunications. No, you're not the center of the universe. And guess what? After he said that, well, no, we go around the sun, guess what we found out? That the sun goes around the galaxy. And guess what we found out then? That the galaxies all go around and there's a universe outside of the galaxy. Okay, we're evolving. We're learning. A couple of years ago at JPL, they sent up a Mars mission. You know, they redefined the entire encyclopedia. I know, that's going back in time. There was such thing called encyclopedias. You'd have them on your desk. You'd have them on your bookshelf. They had to rewrite the M volume. Once they sent that mission to Mars, because they discovered all kinds of new things. And life is that discovery. Life is that evolution. And you step to the beat that you hear. You don't criticize people because they step to different beats. What a great transition for the song of the day. Enjoy this step and this beat. From the Hosharian Brothers. No, it's not rap. It's some good stuff. Enjoy.
Nine, 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 nine
That is the Hosharyan brothers playing Nina Nai Nai. How's that? Yeah, a little bit of Greek in there and Middle Eastern flavors, some Armenian, well, all kinds of fun stuff, including a little bit of rapping in there, too. Did you catch that? Anyway, this is a very special group to me because I remember as a kid listening to their dad, Eddie Hosharyan. In fact, my dad was friends with him, and we'd get to hang around some great, great artists. So this is off of their Electric Kef album. We'll have a link on our show notes today. So if you want to check out all of the wonderful music that comes out of these people, but definitely I hope you were stepping to those beats. Different drummers, different beats. Okay, now I told you that I've been away. I kind of like cleared out my mind. I was out there in probably one of the most beautiful places on earth. We went out to Arizona, and you know what? It is sacred space. To me, it is so sacred. Several years ago, I think it was 1990, we made a trip out to El Paso, Texas. And my wife's parents were working out there in El Paso. And so from San Jose, we drove out through basically desert. And I fell in love with that entire Southwest. I fell in love with New Mexico in particular. And I always thought to myself, you know, that's some place that I'm going to end up. Because it was just, you know, think about New Mexico is a state. Huge. Bigger than Armenia. Anything's bigger than Armenia. It's a huge state. And the entire population is 1 million. That's it. I know it sounds big. 1 million is a lot. But it was spread out over this huge state. You don't see anybody for miles and miles. And all you see is this desert and beautiful land. So I fell in love with New Mexico. But getting there, too, was also Arizona. And we had gone to Arizona several times. And there is something very healing about the land. And, you know, you see a lot of Native Americans there. In their reservations, and of course, yes, in their commerciality, they have the casinos over there. Native Americans have these wild casinos. But I would say maybe about 20 years ago, before the casinos became very popular, you'd see these reservations where people would get out and they'd sell you jewelry. Native American jewelry from different tribes. But now those jewelry stops have turned into casino stops. But underneath all of that, there is a very mystical, spiritual earth that talks to you. And I think this is why I keep going back to Arizona. If you've been following last few weeks in Next Step, I've been talking to you about the healing process and the need for us to talk about healing. I firmly believe that Christ, the entire reason why he came to earth, why Jesus manifested himself, the revelation of Jesus as the Christ, was for healing. And that's not just to give sight to the blind and not the hearing to the deaf, but to give life, to give that abundant life, to give that life that is beyond our understanding, to be, well, united with God. Yeah. Now imagine that opportunity. What if you were with God right now, if you were one with God, wouldn't all your healing, wouldn't any physical deformity that you had be done with? How about psychological? How about spiritual? Everything would be done with. Perfection. Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father. Well, what is that perfection? Keeps alluding to the children. Let the little children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they're created, they're perfection. Children are perfect. We're the ones who try to instill our ways on them. We teach them these things. I mean, think about in this world, what have we done with children? And right now there are children that are fighting each other because of religion, because of land. You have these small little armies that are made up of 12, 13-year-olds who are holding guns. And you say, oh, that's terrible, that's awful, that's a tragedy. Well, what are they learning? Who are they learning from? From us. Who have only one way to solve our issues. Let's pick up guns. Do you remember after that shooting at the school? Newtown, Connecticut. You remember? Right after that. National Rifle Association got up on national television to the world. publicly. The man got up and he says, the only way to end violence is for us to arm the communities, to put guns in the hands of people. That's the solution. That's Archie Bunker's solution, too. Remember that one? He said he had a way. Back in the 70s, they had airplane hijacking. He says, yeah, you just hand out pistols to everybody who comes on the plane. Yeah, just arm the passengers. Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah, it sure does. Like Susie says right at the beginning of the show, you know, check your brain in at the door. That's it. You want to be a Christian? Check your brain in at the door. That's what people are thinking. And it hurts me when we as religious community, especially as an ancient community as Armenian Orthodoxy, fall into those same traps. And believe it or not, we have people that fall into those traps. You know what? There is only one way to end violence, and that's with love. There is only one way to end hatred, and it is with love. And you know why? Because God has given us this message. So, we're out in Arizona. We're looking at all this beautiful land. We're seeing these huge, huge pillars. Earth has moved, you know, and it has created these monuments that you can't believe. The red earth coming together. And I've thought to myself, you know, this is holy. This is holy to us. Now, what do we talk about when we talk about holy earth? Well, in the Christian tradition, you talk about Jerusalem, right? Now, here's the problem. And I want you to listen to this carefully, because I know it's going to, you know, we're on a roll with offending with offending traditions, but I want you to follow this, okay? When you start talking about one group of people being separate and one group of people being what is called quote-unquote chosen, what are you doing? You're basically saying that the other people that are not part of that group are not chosen. Everything that we understand about Christianity does not come from a book. This is what's important. This is what separates Armenian Orthodoxy. This is Armadoxy at its finest, okay? Revelation is God being revealed, not a book being revealed. And this is what so much of Western Christianity, so much of Christianity in general, falls into this trap. Because what happens is you start thinking that the only revelation is the Bible. Instead of understanding that Bible as a creation of the church. In other words, Jesus Christ didn't give you a Bible. God didn't give you a Bible. God gave you his most precious gift. He gave you love incarnate. He gave you Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't give you a Bible. He says, here's my body, here's my church. It is sacred. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It cannot die. I am the light. Look at it. Here is the light. It's for you. And what do? We say, no, well, here's some pages. Read it and you'll understand. No. Because the danger in that is, look, take a look at a Bible. Go pick up your Bible. 3/4 of it is the Old Testament. 1/4 of it is the New Testament. Of that New Testament, you could basically look at those Gospels as being the narrative, the story of Jesus. And in there you find this ultimate love. Yes, within the context of the Bible, it does evolve out of this Judaic tradition. But that Judaic tradition is only one part that gives rise to the Christian message. There are all kinds of places from which Christianity evolves, and it evolves today. So you look at Jerusalem and you say it is a holy city. Absolutely. But the ground you walk on is holy. Arizona, those beautiful towers, monuments are holy. Where you're standing right now, you are a living creation of God. That's holy. And you see, this is the problem. When we start designating people as being chosen or holy, what happens is there's a group of people that are unholy. And that's exactly what Christ came to demonstrate that God is not about. it's not for the rich. It's not for the people who seemingly are happy in this world. It's not for the people who have power. It's not for the elite. It's not for the bourgeoisie. No, it is for everyone. Everyone who is able to open their heart. And I felt that. I'm out there in Arizona and I'm looking at these structures. And I realize that this is sacred land. This is beautiful land. And it made me realize that, you know what? This is one of our difficulties in life. We segregate. God does not segregate. All of land, all of this earth is precious. All of life is precious. All humanity is precious. You are precious, as is the person who sits in Jerusalem, as is the person who sits in Tibet, as is the person who sits under the Eiffel Tower, as is the person who stands at the top of the Empire State Building. It doesn't matter where you are on this planet. You are a creation of God. And when we talk about Armodoxy, this is what needs to be our focus, is that Armodoxy rejects the idea that one people are greater than the other. And you think about it, you say, well, where are you getting that from? Well, think about it. Armenians, for centuries, have been the downtrodden, have been the ones who've been, wars have been waged against them, they've been the target of genocide. How have they survived? With this basic idea of knowing that they are the creation of God. They too have this right to goodness. They too have this right to holiness. Christ came so that we would have an understanding of the oneness of humanity. You don't have the right to say one group is better than the other. You don't have the right to judge. Look at the prayer that Christ taught us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. God, hey, I want you to forgive me my transgressions, my sins. God, what does he say? Yeah, I'll do it. The way you forgive others who have sinned against you. It's an equal table out there. We're all one in the sight of God. You want his favor, you need to be able to extend that favor to others. And so it naturally follows that you don't judge. Judge not lest you be judged. Remove the plank out of your own eye so you can see the speck in your brother's eye. But by the time you pull the plank out of your eye, what's happened? You're seeing clearly. And that speck vanishes. That speck is minuscule. You see, in life we do this all the time. We set up our own boundaries. We set up the difficulties in our lives. We set up our restrictions. And we look at other people and we point. Now go ahead, point at somebody. Take your finger and point at somebody. What happens? Well, if you're doing it the way I'm doing it right now, you've got four fingers, three fingers and a thumb, that are pointing back at you. So what really needs to be cleaned up? What really needs to be evolving? Not the one out there, but the four that are looking back at you. And that four points to you. You have to change. You have to evolve. Now, is that a bad thing? No. Like I said earlier, it just means that you're alive. If you don't evolve, that's a bad thing, because it just means you're dead. Okay, I'm right now at the St. Peter Armenian Church. This is Apostle West, our studio. From here, you can look out the window and see Forest Lawn Cemetery. There are hills of dead people. Those people don't evolve. Those bodies do not evolve. They decay, they decompose, but they don't evolve. They change, yeah, they change. They decompose. They decay, but they don't evolve. What you want in life is an opportunity to evolve, to work towards the betterment of the self, toward looking at life and seeing the beauty that is all around you. And it is not contained to a few individuals. Land is holy. Not because it is geographically on somewhere else on earth, but because you're standing on it. And once we start doing this, what happens? Then the dream that when Christ came, the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Well, what else can happen? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Because I don't have a right to go into another land and bomb it. I don't have a right to go into someone else's backyard and say, your land is not worthy. No, that is sacred. That is holy. I think there's some international treaty about Jerusalem. Can't bomb the city because it belongs to the to the Christians, to the Muslims, and the Jews, right? It is the holy city. Hey, guess what, folks? Planet Earth belongs to the Christians, to the Muslims, to the Jews. It also belongs to the Hindus, to the Buddhists, to the Sikhs, to the Baha'i. It belongs to us. It belongs to humanity. And all of it is sacred. Now, I didn't mean to get off on a kick to encourage ecology, but if that's what you take away from this, yes, get involved in an ecological movement. But what I am saying is that this moves on to individuals, because what we do then is we start saying that this group of people, that group of people is special. No, we are all special in the eyes of God. And once we can understand that, then it naturally flows. The natural flow is right there. That I am no better than anyone else, nor is anyone else better than me. Therefore, we are all on an equal playing field, and we have to learn to get along. We can achieve that peace on this planet. Now, you see, earlier in the show, I told you we were going to talk about healing and about people that I met. Actually, bear with me. Next week, we'll continue on this. But look how this evolved. We're talking about healing. And what are we talking about? Peace on Earth. The ultimate peace. Have you been noticing here on apostle.net? Yes, that's apostle with an E for electronic and expanding. On apostle.net, there's all kinds of varieties of shows. There's, of course, Compass with Linda Zadoyan. And the latest podcast we have is Anush doing Inside the Pomegranate. If you haven't heard it yet, do check it out. But here's Anush to tell you about it.
This is Anush, and I'm excited about my new podcast, Inside the Pomegranate. I happen to love pomegranates, not only for the incredible fruit that they are and how pretty they are, but for the beautiful symbolism that they stand for. The pomegranate is one of the most recognizable symbols for our homeland of Armenia. In Armenian mythology, it was the symbol of fertility and good fortune, and a guardian against the evil eye. This beautiful fruit adorns our stone-carved khachkars and manuscripts. Go to any Armenian art event and you're sure to find pomegranates in the artwork. It's our symbol. For me, it's a symbol of my heritage, and it's also the symbol of imagination, creativity, and life. I mean, open up a pomegranate and look at the seeds that spill out. Each one is ripe with hope, possibility, and sweetness. It's a lot like life, right? My life is full and juicy like a pomegranate, and that's what this podcast will be about. Life, ripe and juicy. So I hope you tune in weekly and take a peek inside the pomegranate. We'll talk about all kinds of things like life, family, applied Christianity, helping others, creating, imagining, wellness. It's all here, inside the pomegranate.
Yeah. Inside the Pomegranate. Do check it out. It is at epostle.net and everywhere else that you find our great podcast on Blueberry, on Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Granddaddy iTunes. Hey, listen, here's Susie to tell you about epostle.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder. And Susie is broadcasting from Seattle, Washington today. Yeah, she's up there and she's going to be producing our show. In fact, she's in the studio virtually, but physically she is in Seattle. And those of you in the Seattle area, she's going to be making an appearance today at the Pike's Starbucks. You won't want to miss her, okay? She's going to be up there. Do check her out. She's not alone. I'll let your imagination go wherever you want it to go. But she'll be at Pike's Starbucks today. Sorry, Susie, I gave away. You should see her expression right now. But that's part of the fun of having an Apostle studio that is so virtual. Hey, listen, this brings us to the end of the show. Like Susie said, please make an effort to become part of this ministry. And it's really simple. You know, you can write out a check. You can press on the donate button in some very simple ways. Just send this podcast. Send our links. Get on Facebook and like us and share the links with your friends, with community members, with people that you're engaged in. Tell them what you get out of Apostle and share it. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, drop us a line. We're at feedback@epostle.net. Before we go, I want to make a personal appeal. Next month, September, actually about 6 weeks from now, I'll be walking in the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer, and I'm looking to collect money. If you're inclined to participate in that, you know that also is part of the healing process, is to really get some research one step ahead of the game so that we can knock out cancer. I'm going to be walking 39.1 miles. Or 39.3, something like that. Some obscene number like that. Be walking over 2 days, and all the money that we raise will go to the Avon people to help research and put an end to breast cancer. You want to donate to that cause? We'll have a link on today's show notes. Well, with that, I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you, for the wonderful team who puts this together, for Susie in Seattle at the Starbucks, and for Vahe, our webman. This is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.